now is Bread of His Presence with your host, Pastor Cameron Urie, Senior Pastor and Bible Teacher at Renton Park Chapel in Renton, Washington.
Hello and welcome to Bread of His Presence. Thank you for tuning in today for another study of the Word of God together. Today, continuing to look at Luke chapter 2, verses 39 to 53. You know, this is a remarkable story because it involves Jesus when he was just a boy, getting left behind by his parents in Jerusalem. And we see evidenced in this story the tremendous grounding in the Word of God that Jesus had already received by the time he was only 12 years old. By this time, according to Jewish custom, Jesus would have memorized, at the very least, the first five books of the Old Testament, what is called the Torah. That was very typical of most Jewish boys during that time. But Jesus, apparently, showed a level of biblical knowledge and understanding which was so far above what was normal, that the Jewish teachers that his parents found him among were astonished. Here was a young man who had taken the time to fill himself with the Word of God. And as we already talked about, the Jewish community, especially that in Galilee, revolved around knowing the Word of God. Many of them knew the entire Old Testament by memory, which, I mean, just absolutely blows me away. But in light of that, I had a gentleman ask me in a discussion on discipleship when to start pouring biblical teaching into the heart and mind of your child. And he expressed this genuine concern that it might be better to not pressure your child into religion, but to wait until they are old enough to decide for themselves. And he was questioning whether it was right or not to indoctrinate his kids while they're at such a young and impressionable age. Now, let me give you the answer that I gave him, which he told me later that he had reflected upon and felt was definitely the right answer. And that is this: our kids are already being indoctrinated 24/7. In so many ways, through phones, tablets, secular schooling, friends, family members, television, I mean, you name it. Our kids are being told what to believe. It's not a question of whether they're being indoctrinated or not being indoctrinated. It is a question of which doctrine is the best doctrine to fill our kids with. And I told him, if you come to my house, you're going to find a full-on indoctrination camp. Our kids are getting a Christian education at a Christian school that anchors every subject they learn in a solid Christian worldview. They participate in Awanas throughout the school year, in which they're constantly memorizing Bible verses, engaging with teachers and friends about the Word of God. And during the summer, they participate in Vacation Bible School. And the same kind of things are happening there. We pray at every meal. We have family devotions every night. And when we're driving and an ambulance passes by, our kids automatically know it's prayer time. They pray for those involved in whatever situation that ambulance is heading into, and they pray for all the workers involved. It's full-on indoctrination. Now, our specific methods are not for every Christian family, but I think the principles behind them are. And I told this gentleman I was talking to that it is our job as parents to anchor our kids in a solid biblical worldview. Because if we do not, the world with all of its influence is going to just sweep them away. And I've sadly seen it so many times in and throughout the course of my ministry. That's why it says in Deuteronomy 4:9, only keep yourself and keep your soul very carefully, lest you forget the things which your eyes have seen, and lest they depart from your heart all the days of your life, but make them known to your sons and to your grandsons. Deuteronomy 6:6-7. These words, which I am commanding you today, shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your sons, and shall speak of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. Deuteronomy 11:18-19. You shall therefore place these words of mine on your heart and on your soul, and you shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as phylacteries between your eyes. And you shall teach them to your sons, speaking of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk along the road, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. Psalm 78:5-6. For he established a testimony in Jacob, and set a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers that they should teach them to their children, that the generation to come might know, even the children yet to be born, that they may arise and recount them to their children. Proverbs 1:8 says, Hear, my son, your father's discipline, and do not abandon your mother's instruction. Ephesians 6:4 says, Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. And this is something the Jews took very seriously, especially in light of their being under the domination of a pagan empire. They knew that if they as a people did not get the word of God deep into the bones of the next generation, they were one generation away from being extinct. And that is why the Jews of Jesus' day, and especially those in and around Galilee, put such an emphasis on the Word of God, on making sure that they knew what it says, and also how to apply it to their day-to-day lives. That is the world that Jesus grew up in, and that God wanted him to grow up in, with parents who loved the Word of God, in a community that was anchored in knowing and living out the Word of God. Now, having said that, there is an element to the question that that gentleman asked that needs to be addressed. And that regards the freedom that you and I are to allow in the lives of our children, in the choices that they make regarding their futures. You may have noticed in the list of scriptures that I gave, I left one out, and it's the one that's most often cited, and that's Proverbs 22:6. And it's commonly translated, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Now, what many have taken this verse to be is a command to parents to teach and train a child in the scriptures and in applying it to their lives. And we are to do that. That's what the verses I gave previously tell us to do, and there are scores of others. But that's not what this verse is talking about. In fact, the Hebrew reads quite differently. And recently I was excited to find that a particular translation that I've been using, one that came out just not long ago, really stays much truer to the original Hebrew. Listen to what it says. Train up a child according to his way. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it. Now, that is a much better translation, because the Hebrew of Proverbs 22:6 is Hanak lena'ar al-pi darka, literally train or start a child according to his, the child's way. Now, when I first learned that, I was stunned because at first that sounded, at least to me, almost like the complete opposite of many of our English translations. Now, it's not, in fact. As we'll see, it dovetails very nicely with our English translations. But in this passage, Solomon is not speaking about the what of what you teach your child, but the how. And you say, well, what do you mean? Well, Hebrew scholar Marvin Wilson, he puts it, there is a great difference between the training of a child according to the child's way, for example, encouraging him to start on the road that is right for him, and training him according to a way chosen, prescribed, and imposed by the parents. The former is in keeping with the child's unique, God-given bent, his disposition, his talents, his gifts. It's considerate of the uniqueness of the child. It doesn't treat all developing persons as the same. And that, sadly, is what we see in a lot of Western education. If you don't fit the mold, you just don't do that well in Western education. But the Bible speaks of a different way. As Derek Kidner has correctly observed, since the training prescribed in the verse is according to the child's way, this verse implies respect for his individuality and his vocation. And so what Wilson argues is that this better translation and interpretation of Proverbs 22:6, it puts the onus on the child to choose the right path. It's one thing, he says, for a parent to encourage, nurture, guide, and inform a child so that the child himself is prepared to choose the path that is right for him. But it's something else entirely for a parent to choose the path and then kind of push that kid into that mold. Now, that doesn't negate the fact that we are to bury the Word of God into the hearts of our children. What it means is that, as Wilson states, we conform the subject matter and the teaching methods to his personality, his needs, his grade level, the stage of life that he's at. And he says, you know, that places a very special responsibility upon every single parent. Because the parent has to carefully observe each child and seek to provide opportunities for each child's development. And in addition, the parent must be sensitive to the direction in life to which the child would naturally conform. Because it's only by walking in that path that the child will come to realize his God-given potential and find his highest fulfillment. You know, Elizabeth O'Connor, she effectively grasps how this proverb may apply when she says, every child's life gives forth hints and signs of the way that he is to go. The parent that knows how to meditate stores these hints and signs away and ponders over them. We are to treasure the intimations of the future that the life of every child gives to us, so that instead of unconsciously putting blocks in their way, we help them to fulfill their destiny. But that's not an easy way to follow. She says, instead of telling our children what they should do and become, we must be humble before their wisdom, believing that in them and not in us is the secret that they need to discover. That's a tall order, she says, but when parents see that their responsibility is primarily to facilitate, to teach the child to choose the right path, only then will a child be enabled to fulfill their destiny. And therein lies a very important educational key to making learning a very sweet, very palatable adventure. Now, that to me was a remarkable truth to uncover about that proverb. It really resonated with some of the things that I've been wondering as a parent. You know, there's a particular way that I myself am wired, and I think my son is wired very similar to me, but my daughter is wired a bit differently. She is always, and I mean always, creating something. You know, we went to eat the other day at a restaurant, and she's coloring pages, she's putting toothpicks through drinking straws, making all kinds of creative things. It's amazing to see some of the stuff that she makes. But she takes it very, very seriously. There's this creative engine that is always going in her mind. And so what this verse really showed me is that, yes, I need to bury the Word of God deep into her soul. But I also need to find ways of applying the Word of God to her life, to the unique path that God has designed for her. I need to nurture her talent, even if I myself have precious little of it, so that in the end, she can become who God designed her to be. Train up a child according to his way. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it. And you know, that's something I think Joseph and Mary struggled with in raising Jesus. Because Joseph wasn't a rabbi. He never made it through all the levels of Jewish education. He may have been a Bet Sefer grad, but that was probably it. I wonder if at age 12, Jesus knew more of the scripture than he did. Especially when you consider how the favor of God, it says in verse 52, was on his life. I mean, Joseph and Mary soon discovered in raising Jesus that Jesus was going to be much, much more than a carpenter. He had an aptitude for learning scripture that was far over and above what was normal. In fact, we see in our passage today that the teachers in the temple are astounded at his understanding and his answers. What do you do as parents of a prodigious child who can apparently hold his own with that level of teachers? Or let me ask you this. What would scare you more? Losing Jesus for 3 days? Or realizing that at the age of 12, your child apparently feels so comfortable amongst such a group of men that apparently you can leave him there for 3 days, finally find him, only to discover that apparently he feels just as at home with them as he does with you? I mean, you almost get the impression that Jesus doesn't even understand, I think maybe he does, why they're so distraught. I mean, he says in verse 49, "Why is it that you were searching for me? Did you not know that I had to be in my Father's house?" I mean, apparently Jesus felt just as at home there as he did with his parents. How do you raise a child like that, with that type, that level of gift? Well, first, you do whatever you can to, as the Jews used to say, stuff him with Torah like an ox. But secondly, you train up a child according to his way. You allow them to find the path that God has laid out for them. And the same goes for adults as well. God wants wedded in your life both a love for his word and the living out of the plans and purposes he has designed you for. And so that's my encouragement to you today. Let us seek to know his word more fully, knowing that as we walk in his way, we will discover the wondrous and unique paths that he has designed us for. Let's do so. Amen.
Today's episode of Bread of His Presence is brought to you by Renton Park Chapel, a church that is committed to the ministry of sharing the joy of hearing and doing God's Word, and to the mission of bringing people into the life-giving presence of Jesus Christ in and through vibrant preaching, teaching, Bible study, prayer, and ministry to a world that is in desperate need of the healing touch of Jesus Christ. If you'd like to learn more about our ministry here at Renton Park Chapel or would like to subscribe to the Bread of His Presence podcast, you can visit us online at rentonparkchapel.org or breadofhispresence.org. You can also find us on Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and Instagram. We look forward to hearing from you. Thank you for listening. And may you know all the fullness of having in your life the bread of the presence of God.